I mean, I think first you have to begin with the rationale. And what we talk about in making telework work is that you have to be able to explain the why. You have to make a business case. I mean, to say that telework is there to make employees happy and satisfied, that's only 20% of the issue. The real case, I think, is that a leader has to clearly specify how telework can lead to a competitive advantage. And oftentimes we find that just isn't done. Hmm.
Jay, I know one of the big issues folks always talk about is security. Is that, do you find, A, that's the big issue, and is it real, or is this just an issue that people bring up because they don't really want to have to do this?
Well, security comes up time and time again with every organization that embarks down this path. Now, it will vary depending upon the organization, the information that employees have access to, et cetera. So there are different security requirements per organization. But Evan and I have spoke with many different organizations, some within the federal government, and they do teleworking quite well. So we know that regardless of the type of information that we're talking about or the type of organization, that hurdle is possible to overcome.
So what's the biggest real hurdle? What, I mean, we've been talking telework for a long time now, and at least according to the latest OPM numbers, only 10% teleworking only one day a week.
Right. In my experience, the biggest hurdles are usually not around technology, but around leadership, change management, and dealing with an organizational culture. For example, what we call the out-of-sight, out-of-mind syndrome, a perception of inequality or unfairness between office workers and teleworkers.
Yeah.
Or perhaps it's trust issues between the leader and their team. If that leader is not physically able to see or meet with their people every day, how do they know that they're actually working and getting work done? Or it could be issues around employee connectedness. You know, how can an employee feel part of a team when they're working in a virtual environment?
How do I do this when I'm not there for the water cooler talk?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But we believe that all of these challenges can be overcome with good leadership.
Evan, talk a little bit about the leadership issue, because that seems like if it doesn't come from at least some level, if the leader doesn't believe in it, it's very hard to make happen, isn't it?
Yeah, it sure is. And I think that some of the basics of leadership, like communication, we found that to really make telework work, leaders have to, and I don't want to use the word over-communicate, but a lot of stuff that we take for granted, like the water cooler talk, leaders have to force the issue through email, picking up the phone, message boards, chat rooms, that type of stuff. Also, we found that the best, the leaders that made telework work, they would often draft like leader or team charters that would really specify the nature, you know, why is this teleworking team being put together, what its mission is. And they're very focused on results. I would say that, you know, that's a hallmark of great teleworking leaders, is that they focus on the end game and not really so much as the process, as long as it's ethical and honorable. But they really don't care how you get the work done, what time you get the work done, if you're doing it at 2 in the morning. But they really lead by results. And
so I know the Office of Personnel Management is trying this thing called RO, the results only work environment, where you don't care when people work, you don't care. I mean, it's well beyond telework, it seems to me. This is focused purely on the results. And that almost to me seems like the biggest challenge here is it's hard to focus on the results. It's a very different management style, I think.
Yeah, completely. And so we're working against hundreds of years of management by walking around. You got to see somebody. So like kind of what Jay was saying, this is a change in mindset. And you have to be comfortable. Leaders, for telework to work, leaders have to change their mindset to focus on the results and to provide the support systems, technology and otherwise, to make sure that the people can get the results. But the days of walking management by walking around or leading by walking around, I think those days are done.
Huh. Or at least passing, maybe. I don't think they're quite done yet, unfortunately, but they're at least passing.
Chris,
Jay, go ahead.
I was going to say that just to add on to Evan's comments, we find that employees are really ready to telework, or at least mentally more prepared than leaders are. I think, as Evan was saying, that leaders are conditioned that they have to be in front of people physically, able to meet with them, touch them, see them, et cetera, in order for them to communicate and get the job done. So it's really overcoming a leader's perception on how work gets done and getting them comfortable with some ambiguity of not being able to be in front of people.
Jay, one of the interesting numbers that came out of the OPM survey was about, and I believe it was 10 to 15% said that they don't have the tools to telework effectively. They don't have the technology, essentially. That just shocked me.
And it surprises me, too, because I would say at the bare bones minimum, you need surprisingly little to actually telework. You simply need an internet connection. You have met the minimum requirements. You don't even need a phone nowadays. You can use a voice over IP application that will let you leverage the internet and talk through your computer. So it really depends, again, on the organization. For example, if you want your teleworkers to be a bit more mobile, then a basic laptop with wireless capability and a cell phone should do. If you want your employees to have access to information after hours, or you want access to your employees at all hours of the day, then, of course, you move to a PDA instead of a cell phone. If you want to increase their collaboration and productivity, well, then there's file sharing applications like Microsoft SharePoint, or there's collaborative technology like WebEx that can bring people together. So it really just depends upon the organization and what they expect their employees to do.
We're talking to Evan Ofstein and Jay Morwick. They are authors of the book, Making Telework Work, Leading People and Leveraging Technology for High Impact Results. And Evan,
Yeah, Chris, I just want to push back real gently on one thing that you said about it as a passing fad. The millennial generation, our kids that are brought up on Facebook, MySpace, they're texting more than, I think that the future of telework, I mean, this rising generation that's going to be our future workforce, they're used to it.
Well, not only are they used to it, they demand it.
That's right.
They're not going to go places where they can't, if they're not mobile, then they're just not interested, it seems to me.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
So that's why I don't think it's going to be a fad. I think that the future labor force is going to demand that is part of their work.
And Evan, talk a little bit about, because it seems like one of the critical issues you have to make, telework, not for everybody. There are people who, A, may have jobs that don't give themselves to telework, but also certain personalities, it seems, maybe they don't like to telework. How do you deal with those kinds of things?
Well, and we talk a little bit about this in the book, and it may be a little bit counterintuitive. Some introverts, quote introverts, they may be the ones that offer to raise their hands to telework because they're working with data and a computer. But what Jay and I talk about is those are the people that you probably, because communication is so important, those aren't the people that you want to telework. You want some extroverted people that are really strong at communication. Maybe if I could convey one thing in this 20-minute interview, communication is the key to making telework work, both between the leader and the employee. So we suggest getting extroverted type of people. And we also say that some jobs are difficult to, a mechanic is hard to telework.
Yeah.
However, there are aspects of every job that can be telework.
Jay, talk a little bit about, because I think we were talking a little bit about the water cooler, and that seems to be actually one of the biggest resistors for the frontline, for workers who want to telework, but they go, I'm afraid about feeling like I'm left out.
Yeah, and that's a very real concern, and it's a legitimate concern as well. People feel more connected, I guess, when they can physically meet someplace, whether it's the water cooler or just around the cubicle environment, et cetera. You have to almost, in some cases, recreate that feeling in the virtual environment. And that requires, like Evan was saying, people that are not so introverted that they're just going to worry, about the numbers and the data that's in front of them, that they're actually going to seek out other people to work with in that virtual environment. So they have to be good on the phone. They have to be good at both verbal and written communication, since a lot of it will be done via email, et cetera.
And it seems like there are increasingly, there's more and more tools out there all the time that allow you to deal with these things. And I'm just, I got to use my new iPhone and the FaceTalk thing this weekend, where you can actually see somebody and talk to them if you're in the right circumstances. But those kinds of things are coming more and more all the time.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, we're getting more of that technology, and it's becoming less and less expensive, which is good for all organizations, such as, say, these high-tech telepresence systems, which makes you feel like you're in the same room with someone.
Evan, check off a couple of tips for folks. As folks, it does seem that people are increasingly tired about talking about telework. They either want to try it or not try it. Either it works or it doesn't work. Give folks a couple tips. What can they do? And you said communicate. I mean, is it scheduling a time that you talk to somebody all the time, or...
I mean, that's a good point, Chris. We suggest a mix of formal and informal communication. When you telework, this is an issue. Like, and I'll try to tie this in. This morning, I teleworked on Skype with three other colleagues. One was in California, one was in D.C., and one was in Richmond. And you have to be careful about time differences and scheduling, but there is a formality to that. But through message boards, Facebook, there is that social dynamic as well. I mean, Jay and I suggest to make telework work, some specific things are to make sure that if you're doing this from an organization standpoint, provide good service and support. When there is a problem, have a good IT person there to help. We suggest a mentoring program for teleworkers.
Sometimes this may be young people working with the folks who are older.
That's exactly right. Yeah. The pyramid is flipped upside down. It's the 22, 23-year-old mentoring a 40-year-old on how to telework. Yeah.
But so much of this seems like a very different mindset. If I'm a boss, all of a sudden it forces me to really focus on the work that folks are actually doing rather than on how they're doing it. And that, we've been talking about it forever, and yet all of a sudden this is a forcing mechanism to make us do that.
Hey, absolutely. You think how people have been rated in every organization, and I don't care what organization is, has that annual performance review. And sometimes you think about how much of that rating is based on some subjective criteria, where in a telework environment, you really don't have that. So really, it's based upon the end results of someone's job.
Yeah. And almost you need to, in a way, it's more complex because that you just can't have that annual review. You almost have to work with people all the way down the line to make sure that you guys are on the same page, that everyone's on the same page.
Absolutely. And we see that as a good thing, though.
Yeah, right. It's one of those things that we've been talking about for so long, and yet it doesn't happen. One of the big challenges, and I had it when I used to manage people, don't have to do that anymore, thank God. But I had a couple people who were offsite, and then most of the people were onsite. And if they were just calling in, all of a sudden they felt like the hinder layers people and like they weren't really part of the meeting. And a couple times we tried just having everybody on the phone, even if you were in the office, everyone called in. Are there other ways of doing that?
Well, that, you just mentioned one key technique that I like to do, because you mentioned or you bring up a very good point. It's one of the key complaints that I hear from a lot of teleworkers, where there's that mix of people that are actually in the office and then people are out in the field. So when you're having that meeting, people calling in always feel a little bit alienated, like they're not part of the conversation. You know, people in the room kind of carry on a conversation for 50 minutes. In the last 10 minutes, they say, all right, anybody on the phone have a comment?
Right.
So, you know, we want to get around that. So a lot of times what I do is just what you say. I level the playing field. Even people in the office, I say everybody's going to call in. That way, everybody's kind of on that same field. Other techniques, if the leader is good at it and good at running a conference call, they can balance out and engage those people on the phone, pull information out of them, ensure that they are part of the conversation and not just wait for them to chime in at the end of the call.
Very nice.
Now, I would also say that hybrid or blended, when budgets allow, I think it's good to get the teleworkers together, whether that's at an annual conference or the name and the face, and that so there's a physical interaction. There's been some research on, and there's University of Phoenix and online education, but the research tends to show that blended courses that are partially online, partial physical interaction, they tend to work the best because you have both aspects working together there.
And you do not know how well this or works or doesn't work unless you actually do it. Just saying, at least in my mind, teleworking once a day, one day a week, or 2 days a month, it doesn't. That's not. That's not really teleworking. It doesn't seem to me.
No. But I mean, I think Jay and I are of the mindset that you have to crawl, walk, and run. We suggest in the book maybe doing a pilot program first for the program to get some traction, and then it can be expanded. So even if it is one day a week now, I mean, if we're going to win the telework war, you got to begin somewhere. So I think, you know, a year, 2 years down the road, people will definitely be teleworking more, not less. And I think Jay and I also believe this, and you kind of touched on it, Chris, this is going to force leaders to really lead. Teleworking makes managers, or will force managers, to become better.
Yeah, all of a sudden you're not focused, again, you're focused on setting the strategy, making sure everyone's on the same page, we're all pointed in the same direction, and then you're measuring the results.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Kind of scary, isn't it?
It's petrifying, I think. It scares most of us.